Well, good morning and hello, TJ Ross, the Regional Communications Manager for the Panhandle Region of Idaho Department of Fish and Game. Hello again, TJ. It's been a while.
It has been a while, and it's always a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me, Julie.
I would say the same thing. I always have a great time talking with you. We get so much good information and great interviews. And today we've got a great topic, and it's one that a lot of people are going to be wanting to hear about. But I have to, before I introduce this topic, I have to say that the reason I called you last week was to talk about the zebra mussels in southern Idaho, but we'll save that for another time, maybe in a few weeks. All right.
Sounds
So
good.
good. So the topic today, though, is well, it is chronic wasting disease having been discovered in Idaho in Bonner's Ferry. Yes.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago it was discovered in other parts of Idaho. We were hoping to dodge the bullet, but yes, recently it was discovered in up around Bonner's Ferry, which is news we were not looking forward to receiving, but here we are.
Yes, and we'll have to deal with it. And was it discovered in a deer, in an elk? What animal?
Sure, so it was discovered in a white-tailed doe, an adult female deer. That was already dead. The landowner called it in because it looked suspicious. One of our officers went out to take a look at it, grabbed some CWD, chronic wasting disease samples from it, had it tested, and sure enough, it had died. And the assumption is that it actually had succumbed to the disease, so had probably been sick for quite some time.
Okay, well, we'll back up for just a moment and I'll ask you, what is chronic wasting disease for people that have not heard about it?
Great question. It's a nasty disease. People have a lot of different names for it. Some people call it like the zombie disease for deer, elk, and moose. It's basically a neurological disease that only affects currently that's known only affects animals in the deer family. So that would be deer, elk, and moose. And it essentially affects their nervous system and their brain. And it can take a very long time for the symptoms to show. It's always fatal. So if an animal gets it, they will not survive it. There's no vaccine for it, no cure for it. It's kind of one of those things that once they get it, they're going to die. Once it's in the population, it's there to stay.
Okay. And it's come from the east basically, hasn't it? Because I'm moved here from Minnesota about 10 years ago and it was definitely everywhere in Minnesota, Wisconsin, the eastern states.
Yeah, for sure. The eastern states have been dealing with it for quite some time, but believe it or not, it actually originated in Colorado,
Ah.
and then kind of went east initially, and now the western United States are starting to deal with it. So we're starting to see positive cases pop up in the western states. I mean, in fact, a couple of weeks before we detected CWD in the Panhandle, Washington just north of Spokane got their first positive detection. And then it's also in Montana, British Columbia. So we're surrounded by it.
Now, TJ, why are we concerned about this? Because of course we never want to see an animal with a disease, but it is of concern to humans. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about it. I mean, you talk to some folks and they might think it's not a big deal or it's been around for a long time. And I would discourage that thought process because, particularly in a place like Idaho, where people love to hunt, I love to hunt, and the thought of having chronic wasting disease in animal populations is very concerning to me. And if you think about it, this disease is highly contagious. They can spread it nose to nose. If an animal with it dies in the mountains, the disease can live like 18 to 20 years in the soil. And if another animal comes up and sniffs that spot or rubs its nose around, it can then contract the disease. And so it's one of those things that may not seem like a big deal at first, but over the course of 15, 20 years, if we're not taking action and trying to keep tabs on it, it can spread very rapidly and you end up with a population that's very infected. And like I said earlier, it is always fatal. And so you can end up with a lot of sick animals that 15, 20 years down the road start dying off. There are places in other states surrounding us who have had it for a while who haven't done much of anything to kind of manage the disease. And they have some herds that are on the brink of extinction. So this is a big deal.
Very big deal. And even though, as bad as that is, that our deer family populations might be severely affected, there is some concern for humans, although no proof. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. So currently there's no known cases of the disease crossing over from deer, elk, or moose to humans, which is good news. But I'll follow that with saying that the CDC recommendation is not to eat an infected animal. And so we provide the same recommendation just out of an abundance of caution. We don't want to be the ones that have that first positive case of it crossing over to humans. So there's certainly a concern there.
Yes, and I don't know if it's comparable, but for people that are maybe my age or even a little younger, a little older, I don't know if y'all listeners remember our scare from England with mad cow disease, where a very similar disease passed from cows into people. Can we compare that? Does that make sense?
Yes, you can. That's the mad cow disease is essentially the domestic version of chronic wasting disease. Obviously, there are a lot more people eating cows than deer, but in a place like Idaho, that may not be true. There's a lot, maybe a lot more people eating deer than cows. So, very similar disease, just different animals.
Yes, and in that case, as I'm recalling, I may not have this exactly right, but as I remember with mad cow disease, it could take something like 20 years for it to develop in a human. And so it's very concerning because you might become infected with that and then not know about it forever. And so if folks in Idaho are eating contaminated, deer meat and maybe going to develop it, it could take quite a long time.
It could. And then we've got real problems. I mean, to put it into perspective, I hunt deer in Bonner's Ferry, and this is going to change how I'm going to hunt there. But I'm going to have those animals tested before I put it on the dinner table for my wife and kids.
For sure. Now, I keep going back to Minnesota because it was much more common back in those days for me, and it was prevalent throughout the state. But the recommendations, I believe, at that time were that folks just not, they could go ahead and process their deer, but not cut into any bone, nothing with nerves. And I don't think that's Idaho's recommendation, is it?
No, so our recommendation, I think we've got a pretty good system in place. So if people want to have their animal tested for chronic wasting disease, which I advise anybody to do it, if people are hunting up in the Bonner's Ferry area, certainly encourage people to do it. We can do it at our office. People can watch videos online for how to collect their own samples. They can request a sample kit from us. However they do it, when they have a sample kit, they're going to get a barcode back. And that barcode is linked to the animal that they harvested. And they can hop onto our website, type in that barcode number. 3 to 6 weeks is what we tell people after they harvest the animal. We're really, at this point, getting them done in about 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And in the interim, we suggest that folks don't process the meat if they have the ability to throw the quarters in a freezer to do that. And then they can hop online to see if it came back, what the result was. If it's a positive, they'll hear from us. If it's negative, they're not going to hear from us. But if it's a positive result, they will hear from us. But to not process that meat until they know the answer.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense and is a safe way to go. Well, that leads me to the question, though, then, and hopefully there will not be very many positives, so people won't have to be dealing with this. But what if you do get a positive? What then do you do with that animal?
Yeah, so if you've got meat in the freezer, person harvests a deer, has meat in the freezer, they send the sample in and it comes back positive, I would suggest first and foremost they reach out to us. We could work with them on disposal of the animal. There are certain dump locations that are lined and can accommodate that kind of waste. Not every dump can. So to contact us and we can assist with that.
Because you don't want to just put it, as you've talked about earlier, you don't want to just put it out wherever you found it or in your yard because you've just told us that it can be contagious for a very long, long time.
Yes, and it can remain in the soil, on the grass. And so if a deer, domestic town deer comes through and sniffs in the backyard or whatever, it could come in contact with the contaminated parts of that deer that was disposed of.
Yeah, so we definitely don't want to be doing that. We don't want to be feeding it to our pets. We don't want to be doing anything with it, but making sure that it's disposed of properly. Makes
Yep,
sense.
correct.
Right. All right. So I wanted to just ask you, even though I think you've already said this, this is in deer, elk, moose, but it's not in the other game animals like caribou, sheep. We don't have caribou here, of course, but like bighorn sheep or mountain goats, nothing like that.
No, thankfully it for now is relegated to the deer family. So deer, elk, and moose, and there are no cases of it crossing over.
Okay, so that's good news in that way then. I also would like to ask you about what will be the next steps for fish and game? What's everyone going to do?
Yeah, so thankfully we've been preparing for this for some time. We've known that we've been surrounded by it. As an agency, we've developed a chronic wasting disease management strategy so that when we get a positive detection, there's a plan in place. We've got things that that follow after that. So first thing that happened, we got the detection. We notified the Fish and Game Commission, which for folks who don't know, the Fish and Game Commission, those are there's one per region. There's seven regions in the state. So those are appointed by the governor. We make recommendations to them, and then they make decisions that we then implement. So we let the commission know what happened. We provided a recommendation for what we think we should do. There was a conversation about that on August 15th, and they made the decision that we should implement what's called a surveillance hunt, which the idea, and a lot of people here, I get it, a lot of people hear this and they think, oh, Fish and Game wants to go reduce deer numbers and wipe out the local deer herd. And I want to be here crystal clear and say that is not the intent of the surveillance hunt. The surveillance hunt is singularly focused on gathering more information so we know how far and wide this disease is spread in that particular area, which will then tell us how bad it actually is.
All right, so what is the area that the surveillance hunt is going to be taking place in? Where's that all going to happen?
So it's basically from the area where we got the positive detection, and it's roughly a 5 mile radius around it. That's not exact. There are actual designated hunt boundaries that are on our website, but that's roughly where it is. So pretty localized at first, and the goal is to harvest, to have hunters harvest 200 deer in that area. And again, to provide some perspective, there's an estimated 50,000 deer in Panhandle's Unit 1. So we're really talking a very, very small proportion of the number of deer that are in Unit 1.
Yeah, that's a small number. And I hope it's a large enough number so that you can get an idea. You feel that it is, though.
We do. So this is standard protocol with, it's called estimating prevalence of the disease. And so whatever your area of interest is, whether it's a 5 mile radius or a 200 mile radius, the science suggests that if you have 200 samples, you can get that, you can determine what the prevalence of the disease is in the population.
Okay. And if people want to participate in this hunt, how do they do it? What do they need to do?
Yep, it's coming quick. So obviously, this has all happened really rapidly from the time that we got that positive to detection to when we had to implement all of this. So Panhandle regional staff, we've been working hard and around the clock scrambling to pull this thing together. So the hunt is going to take place August 24th through September 1st. So not too far away at all. Folks can purchase tags to participate in this hunt on a first come, first serve basis. We are going to be selling them on August 22nd. So this Thursday. In Bonner's Ferry. So we're selling them locally. We'd like to really get these in the hands of people that know the deer populations there and can get on them pretty easily and pretty quickly. So August 22nd is when the sale is going to take place. It's going to start at 5:30 p.m. We'll end at 8 p.m. or sooner if the tags sell out quicker. So we've got 300 tags that are available, and they're $10 a piece.
Wow, for folks that would like to get out and have an early hunt, that's pretty great. And I'm assuming that they then will wait for the results, of course. Will they be able to keep the deer if they are free of chronic wasting?
Yep. So that when folks harvest the deer, the only requirement is that everybody participating in the hunt brings the head back to us for us to get a sample. We'll provide, again, the recommendation that I did earlier that they don't consume or process the meat until they're their sample is tested and they have an answer, which we'll be trying to turn those around very, very rapidly.
Oh, good. Well, that makes even more sense in this area. That's an area of concern. So I hope that people will follow those recommendations. All right. So, can they do that hunt with a rifle, a bow? How is that going to happen?
It's any weapon, so they can use their weapon of choice. So that's up to them. One thing I did forget to mention is the location, in case folks are wondering where these tags will be sold. So it is in Bonner's Ferry. The specific location is off the Dyke Road in the public overflow boat parking lot that is just south of the search and rescue boat launch. Some people refer to it as like the old mill location. That's where we'll be set up. It's going to be a mobile tag sale. We're actually writing like paper tags, so we won't have any of our digital. We won't be in the digital world when we're out there. We're not going to have a Wi-Fi hotspot. We're going to have 10, 15 fish and game staff sitting at tables writing paper tags for folks. So that's where it will be. And then if folks do want to get a tag, they need to bring cash or check. So we won't have the ability to process credit cards, debit cards, anything like that. We're going old school.
Well, it's kind of being done in a hurry, and that makes sense, but that's important because if folks think they can just go ahead and get this online, then they need to be aware that they'll need to show up and get that ticket tag.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's very important. And I think I just hope, like heck, it turns out that there's not too many deer with chronic wasting. What I'd like to know, though, also is what is this all going to mean, do you think, for the deer and the elk and the moose hunting this season? Do you think there may be changes due to the new discovery?
It's too early to tell. I think our hope with this season, I guess our broader hope is we do this surveillance hunt now, we gain some more information that lets us know, like I said, how far and wide the disease is. So we do have the ability to adjust things going into the season if we need to. But I think the underlying expectation is that as people go into the regular hunting season and start submitting samples, we'll learn even more. So I don't know what it means for the hunting season. I don't anticipate it to change. But I guess hoping that people take the disease sampling more seriously. The more samples we can get, the more information we're going to have to make the best decision possible.
Yes, so that's a very important point then. It's been available to us hunters, of course, that we can have our animals tested for chronic wasting, but I'm not sure that people really have done very much of it. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, we have some people. We have people every year that participate, but somewhere on the scale of 100 to 150 samples in the panhandle that are submitted, which is pretty small potatoes in the grand scheme of the number of deer that are harvested. So like last year, there were roughly 4,000 deer harvested in unit one. We're not getting samples from the vast majority of those deer, and we'll take as many samples as we can get because like I said earlier, the more information we have, the more informed decision we can make.
I really am hearing this because I'm a deer hunter and also an elk hunter, and I've never submitted a chronic wasting disease, sample because I just assumed we were in the clear here, and this is changing my attitude 100%.
Yeah, well, and I guess I'm partly happy to hear that this changes how you think about it, because I think that's where we're at. And I think the thing to understand with this is that we're in a different spot than we were last year. I mean, as far as the population goes, currently everything looks fine, but there is a pre-CWD detection and then a post, and things look different. We have to start thinking differently about it. And I certainly am. It sounds like you are, and I hope other folks begin to adopt that train of thought as well, because we need to take it seriously.
I think, touched on this at the beginning of our talk, but I'd like to go back to it for a moment. If a person's out hunting and they see what might they look for in an animal that could potentially have chronic wasting disease? You called it a zombie disease, but tell us a little more about that.
A great question, and here's where it gets really frustrating, is that an animal can have CWD and not show any symptoms for 18 months to 3 years. So they walk around looking like a normal deer all the while, spreading that disease to other deer, and you wouldn't know looking at them. Usually if you see the symptoms, that deer is really close to the end, And so if you what you might see in a deer that has, reached the end with CWD is droopy ears, kind of a look of confusion, dazed and confused, kind of zombie-like, where they're not afraid of you. They may walk toward you. They're kind of wandering or stumbling around. They just look off. And those are the deer that we want to know about. Would love for people to put them down so we can get a sample from them. Or if they, see a deer like that that's on the side of the road and it gets hit, we'll go grab a sample from it. I mean, that's what folks are looking for. But like I said, you don't see that until almost the end.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I have a friend who lives in Laclede who saw a deer like that last year. It was a buck and it was there on her property for a day and then the next day it wasn't there anymore, but I'm sure she would have, been happy to have someone come out and take a sample or do that herself, but that deer disappeared, which is concerning because Laclede is not that far from Bonner's.
Right. Yeah. And in that
Right.
scenario, we encourage folks to let us know if they see a deer like that. And especially given this recent positive detection, we will have officers come out, put that deer down, and collect the sample.
Okay, well, I'll pass that along to my friend, and if anything else happens, I'm sure she'll want to be doing that. Well, TJ, this is a very important topic, and I don't know, is there anything else you'd like to talk about related to it?
Yeah, I think just in general, like letting folks know, like I'm a deer hunter. Most people in this office hunt deer. We care deeply about the hunting heritage and tradition of Idaho, and that's why we're taking this so seriously. I just want to be clear that I don't want people to think we're going rogue on this or spinning out about it. Like we take it seriously. Like this is very critical to Idaho's culture, is this hunting culture. And so we want the public to know and understand and believe us when we say that we want to be super accessible to people. I know this generates a lot of questions, probably a lot of concern, confusion. And so we want to be accessible to people. We promise to be transparent through all of this. And part of what we want to do to show that is we are starting tomorrow night, actually, the 20th. We're hosting what's called we're calling them a community chat in Bonner's Ferry. So this is an open house format meeting where we're going to have staff in Bonner's Ferry from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Bonner's Ferry Ranger Station. We're going to do that every Tuesday evening for the foreseeable future. And the idea with that is we're going to provide updates along the way. We're going to let people know what we're seeing, what we're finding, listen to questions that people have, concerns, whatever it is. We're in this together with the public. Like we're just as uncomfortable with it as they are. And we're dealing with it the best way that we possibly can with the best information that we have.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where everybody needs to work together. Nobody wants this disease spreading into the population of deer, elk, and moose. It's a bad deal. 100% is. All right. Well, how can we end on a happy note then? Go
We end
ahead
on a happy note. The hunting season's right
and
around the corner, so we got a lot to look forward to.
there you go. And as far as we know, it's not a major. It hasn't gone crazy yet, and with the help of Idaho Fish and Game, hopefully we'll be able to control this situation as best as any humans can do, and hopefully no humans will become infected, and we'll get a handle on it.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think that the other positive ending I'll offer here is that one of the most critical things with chronic wasting disease is early detection. Getting it early when it comes to your area. And we've been sampling for chronic wasting disease for the better part of 20 years. So we feel pretty confident that we detected this early. And if you detect it early, you can get on it and control the rate of spread. And I think we're in a good spot to be able to do that.
Oh, very good. I've thought of another thing, TJ, and this is something that you and I have talked about in previous interviews, and I think it would be important to mention now as the fall and winter is coming. So many folks in this area love to feed deer, elk, moose in the winter, and there's a reason not to. Tell us.
Yes, there are many reasons not to. One of which is animals know how to find food. They've done it for years and years and years. They, believe it or not, they don't need us to give them their free meal. So there's reason one. Reason number two, anytime you habituate animals to humans, bad things happen, both for the humans and for the animals. Usually the animals are the ones that lose out. So never a good never a good decision there. And then in light of this chronic wasting disease detection, anytime you're causing or encouraging deer to congregate, they're going to be nose to nose. And if you've got a sick one in there and it ends up 20, 30 deer in your yard and they're all touching noses and in close proximity, it's probably going to spread. And that's where you can really start to create some challenging issues.
Yes, we definitely don't want that. I mean, I've confessed on this program more than once that there's been a time when I have fed the deer and I quit after interviewing you because it's just not the right thing to do. But with the appearance of chronic wasting disease, that's another a whole nother reason and a very important reason to quit feeding the deer and all the other ones. All right. Well, TJ Ross, Regional Communications Manager here at Panhandle Region of Idaho Fish and Game. I really want to thank you for getting this information out. And listeners, if you want to be participating in this hunt, you've heard about the details. Oh, last question. If folks do want to call and talk to somebody about just the entire chronic wasting, who would you have them call? You, or is there a department?
They can call our office directly, 208-769-1414. Our phone's been ringing off the hook after the announcement of CWD and the surveillance hunt, and everybody is very well versed on it, and we would be more than happy to talk to anybody that wants to call in.
Okay, so folks, just go ahead and call the Coeur d'Alene office of Fish and Game, and they'll be able to get you to the right person. All right, well, very good. We're going to conclude this interview. Once again, thank you, TJ Ross, Regional Communications Manager. This has been a great and very informational talk. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy it.
Been great. All right. Thank you, everybody.